Hello and welcome to episode 77 of the Tech Reformation, where the world of technology meets the worldview of Christianity. I'm Ben.
I'm Craig.
I'm Derek.
And this is Tank.
This week, we're going to be talking about the new Amazon Echo show, Vimeo and Gospel Transformation, the latest news from the FCC and net neutrality, and the number of apps on your phone. Without further ado, let's get started.
So Ben, what's your topic?
I wanted to talk about the new Amazon Echo show. Latest from Amazon and the Echo family of things is this device that sits on your counter that has a screen on it. It looks like about a 3 or 4 inch screen, a video camera, and it's got Amazon Alexa. And so Derek, you're going to have to beep that. You'll have to beat that too.
Yay.
But anyway, it's so the Echo Show, it's got a Alexa built into it and a video camera and a screen. So you can like video chat with people and they can like drop in on you and you can ask it to play Amazon Prime Video and YouTube stuff. And it just kind of sits on your counter and you talk to it and tell it to do things for you.
Can it link to a big screen?
Can it link to a big screen? I actually don't know.
Yeah.
I don't think so. This is kind of like a standalone deal.
That's what it seems like.
It's an Echo thing. So like, I'm sure like you can have multiple Echoes throughout the house and like they'll intelligently know which one you're talking to and just do that one. So I'm sure it has like the same interlinking with your other Echo devices, but,
I don't know why you would want to, because there's a screen on it that's like for that purpose.
Watching like a YouTube video, like a longer one or something, you may not want to watch it on the small screen.
Play it on my blank TV or whatever.
Yeah, that makes sense. And just sit down and enjoy it.
Yeah, they'd probably. It's possible they'll do something like integration with the Fire Stick at some point. But
Wow, I was dramatically wrong. It's a 7-inch screen. Sorry.
Oh wow.
7-inch touch screen.
Okay.
So much bigger than like an iPhone 6 Plus. It's more like an iPad Mini. Except not quite that big.
Yeah.
That makes a little bit more sense. I don't really get it, kind of, which maybe I'll regret saying in a few months/years, because this thing will just radically take off and everybody will have one. But I don't know. It's like you can't do anything new with it, necessarily, that you couldn't do with an Amazon Echo.
Oh, yeah, you totally can.
Or Google Home.
Like, you can,
or laptop. Or phone.
Oh,
now go ahead.
Okay. All right. with that clarification.
Gotcha.
Sure.
Well, I just mean in terms of like technology, it's not like a new, like, you can do this thing that you've never been able to do before, you know? It's just sort of a synthesis of all of those in a new form factor.
Yeah.
It's like a weird evolution of computers, in my opinion. I don't really get it.
Well, it's switching over computing to like an ambient style of computing. Like, you can just basically talk to it when you need to, but it doesn't really interfere with your life. You don't have to carry it around. It's just there all the time. It's like, it's a little
Except
bit like...
it's not there because you're in another room.
then you just get like 2 or 3 Echo shows for your house.
Or you just do what I do and you yell at your Google Home.
There you go.
You just scream.
There we go. It's interesting. I don't see the need to... to use it. I don't know. I'm sure the Echo lovers will be thrilled with this, and then over the next couple of months we'll sing the praises and then I'll eventually get it. But yeah, it's like a new form of computing that I just don't understand yet or understand the need for.
That's sort of where I'm at. I don't know. It's like we had to prove the sort of voice controlled technology thing, like the voice activated speaker was a thing, and now that's a category. And then this, I just don't understand how this is a logical next step at all. It's, if anything, it seems like a step backwards, because you could have just put the voice enabled speaker on your phone or your laptop or whatever, or your TV or something like that. But now we have another small device just with that purpose. It's kind of like a Google Home with a screen, I guess. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. It's like an iPad with Siri on it.
Yeah, it's like an iPad with Siri on it.
Except the voice assistant actually works.
Yeah, except that Siri's the worst at everything.
Yeah, that's true. If you live in a house with multiple Echoes, does that mean you're living in an echo chamber?
Oh my gosh.
Craig, you are
and
my
with
hero.
That is our take on the new Amazon Echo show. Craig, you're up next.
Okay. I want to talk about an article that's actually... been around for a while now. It was posted sort of towards the end of March this year. And it was written by Dr. Michael Brown, some people who've listened to The Dividing Line and Apologia and other podcasts, or The Line of Fire, his own podcast, will know Michael Brown. He's a Jewish, Christian, Messianic Jew, scholar, historian. So he's written an article that's been posted on a couple of places. I'm reading it from townhall.com. And it's basically talking about a company called Pure Passion Ministries, who have had a Vimeo account. And basically what their account, what they their ministry was stories of people who used to be active homosexuals, living a homosexual lifestyle, and have since come out of that, basically, and Jesus has changed their life, and so they are now, you know, their sexuality has been, I guess we would say, restored. And so mainly just testimony videos, I think, and sort of, people speaking to other people who might be in a similar position. I'll just read a little bit from the article. It says, if Jesus has changed your life and set you free from homosexual practice, your testimony is not welcome on Vimeo, not now, not ever. If you see homosexuality as another aspect of sexual brokenness, something for which Jesus died and something from which you can be healed, your opinion is not welcome on Vimeo. Case closed. In the words of the director of Pure Passion Ministries, it's pure religious bigotry and censorship. So basically, Vimeo contacted him and told him that all of his, this Mr. Foster, the guy who's in charge of the ministry, said that his videos have been marked by a moderator, since Vimeo doesn't allow videos that harass or incite hatred or depict excessive violence. So of course the Foster guy writes back and says, well, we're a Christian ministry, you know, we seek to do good things, we're not none of our videos are hateful or whatever, and so he wrote back and said, can you please show me where this is the case? But they were threatening to remove all his videos, essentially 850 videos within 48 hours. So they came back and they said, well, you know, that's right, you don't have any of those videos, but essentially you do have videos that shame gay people. So this is just part of the overall sort of, I guess, societal lean towards not just tolerance, but celebration of, I guess what we would say, skewed sexualities. So their real complaint was, it seems that a number of videos go against the Vimeo guidelines of forbidding content that displays a demeaning attitude towards a specific group. I guess one of the questions I have whenever this sort of topic comes up is, how is this different? And it was raised in the article, how is this different from Alcoholics Anonymous or, you know, someone who used to go to a particular gym and do a particular weight loss program and found that it wasn't working or wasn't good for them, and so they've changed and done something else. We have to be allowed to disagree without calling it hatred, but it seems like Vimeo as a tech company has decided, you know, the internet's a free platform, but Vimeo is not a free platform. We're going to restrict this type of content. Have you guys seen this sort of thing happening around in other places around the net? Can you think of other examples? And I guess one of the questions I wanted to talk about was, what do we do other than just saying, oh, let's just all boycott Vimeo? do you have any other thoughts?
Well, it's funny that you bring this one up, Craig. I actually was speaking to a pastor a few weeks ago who was having just got out of a meeting with their elders about trying to answer the question, can we still use Vimeo to host our sermons in good conscience, since they've taken this stance? Mm-hmm. And I was really encouraged that they would even put the time into thinking about that. I think they decided that they ended up being able to do it, which is fine. Like, I think you could go either way on that, depending on your own conscience and your own convictions regarding this. But I was encouraged that time was being put into that, because we usually devote so much time to many, many other things that are not quite as worthy, in my opinion.
I mean, aside from boycotting Vimeo, I mean,
because we've talked about boycotting before, right?
And yeah,
we sort
right.
of decided that just because companies don't hold the same value system as you doesn't necessarily mean it's a reason for boycott.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's not like Vimeo is the first person to come out against this kind of worldview. It's just that this tends to not be the case for big companies, which I think is why it's so kind of startling. Like, something that is, I mean, Vimeo isn't as ubiquitous as YouTube is, but it's still fairly ubiquitous across the web. So like most people know what it is. So it's like, well, you're actually excluding a whole group of people, off of your thing because of this. It's all a product of their worldview, right? So they're not okay with us saying that homosexuality is sin, and they can choose to do that with their business. It's kind of a bummer. I wish they would repent and believe, but you know, wretch is gonna wretch.
I've talked at length in the past with friends and maybe on this show about how I find it interesting that if, for example, we were able to suppose homosexuality were a deficiency in some sort of genetic code or DNA or some chromosomal disorder, as has been discussed in the past, if we were able to find something that rectified that deficiency or disorder, is that something that we would think was like good or possible? Or would that be outright outlawed, presupposingly so, right? Mm-hmm. Like, do we have the capacity to even say that that's a possibly good thing? You know, I've heard from many folks in the past about how they wish they could change, but they just can't. But I began to wonder if that would be deemed just a bad thing outright.
Probably.
I think so.
But I mean, it's another point. It's another case in point of the inconsistency of the unbelieving worldview, though, because, you know, for example, Christians, when they're the Christians that I've spoken to about this experience, when you're going to have a baby and they say, do you want to do the Down syndrome test? And you say, why would we do the Down syndrome test? And they say, well, because if the baby's got Down syndrome, you might want to terminate the pregnancy. You know, a lot of Christians don't even bother getting the test because it's not an option. But I wonder if that would kind of, you know, so non-Christians are okay with saying, well, there's a genetic deficiency here, a genetic difference that is a problem. But then on the homosexuality side, I'd say it's not, they would probably say that it's not a problem and that, you know, we should celebrate it and that no one should want to change and that kind of thing. So I think there's just inconsistencies there. Long story short, they did remove all the videos from Vimeo in the end. So I'll let people work out what they want to do conscience-wise on whether or not you use Vimeo, but just thought it was an interesting one to discuss.
Our sponsor this week is Missionalware, the Reformed Theology Gift Shop. Missionalware has all sorts of fun things that you can use to broadcast your faith, have a little conversation topic thing there on your coffee table, or, you know, whatever. They've got so much, apparel and like drinkware and stuff. Beautiful designs across a whole variety of items like t-shirts, hoodies, journals. We've got drinkware. They actually have these really nice looking coasters that they just came out with. They're like, I'm not sure if they look like leather. It's synthetic material. But it's water resistant, easy to clean. They look fantastic. There's the five solas, and they've also got a coaster set of a bunch of reformers too. Beautiful stuff. You should go check it out. They've been a sponsor for a while, obviously, and we really appreciate their stuff. They make good quality things. These items will appeal to any theologian, whether you're just now stepping into deeper waters or if you've been a nerd about it for years. So check them out at missionalware.com, and thanks to them for sponsoring Tech Reformation.
Derek, what did you have this week?
So this week, there's this guy named John Oliver. He has this show on HBO that he tends to be amusing and like get on social soapboxes and such. And
pretty vulgar.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And he's pretty vulgar. So, you know, obligatory Christian disclaimer there before, you know, you go watch his video. I'm not actually even going to point to the video because it's not really like the subject at hand. But he made a video about net neutrality. And because of the current thing with the FCC, like Ajit Pai is trying to roll back the things put forward in the Democrats and that the Democrats put through in the, you know, the last head of the FCC as far as net neutrality goes. So, and I would say that's a bad thing, but so anyway, he would say that's a bad thing and go like storm the FCC's website to tell them, hey, leave my internet alone. So anyway, moral of the story, it turns out that the FCC was flooded by fake and vicious comments as, you know, they opened up the floor for net neutrality online. And most of these were bots, people putting like creating bots to basically flood the lines with their own world, you know, their own view on the matter. So they're trying to, so this kind of throws into the process. Like there's so many fake comments. How do you parse out the real ones? Obviously all the ones that are the same are fake, but you know, it's kind of crazy. It seems to me there's gotta be something that one can do to like avoid this sort of thing. Like the person that figures out how to keep bots away from like, from a community forum would certainly make a whole heck of a lot of money.
I think the answer is robots.txt.
I don't think that's how that works. Is that how that works?
Robots.txt?
Was that a joke? I don't understand.
No, that's a real thing. Websites have a file titled robots.txt.
Oh, I know. I don't actually know what that's for, but
it's blocking indexing and stuff.
Yeah. Okay.
So you can tell Google not to crawl your site with that and which pages right. It can and can't crawl and all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. Yeah, but I'm sure there are a lot of bots that don't pay attention to that and just go for it anyway.
There's also a lot of people who don't know how to use it, which is why when you go to Google and do a search, there's a whole bunch of descriptions that say, no description because of this site's robots.txt.
Yes.
But anyway.
Oh, that's what that's for. Man, I learned so much. Now I forget where I was going to go with this. Oh, so this brings us to like another aspect. I know we mentioned internet mob justice a while back. This is kind of the same thing, except it could all be started by like one person who like takes a whole mess of bots and just hammers, you know, whatever they want to, which is just crazy. How can we possibly have like conversations about this sort of thing when it can be so incredibly like staged like this? I don't know. I don't really have a good answer to this. It's possible you guys don't either, but I find it to be a really interesting question and something that like keeps popping up.
I guess, yeah, that's the thing. Like, you know, I was at a conference recently. Someone was asking the question. They were sort of talking about mobile and apps and where all that sort of communication is up to. And someone sort of asked what the next big thing is, and the topic of bots came up. And obviously, they're super powerful and can automate a lot of stuff for us and make things a lot easier. But yeah, they also have a huge capacity for just adding to the mess of crap that's on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I don't have an answer. But
yeah,
watch this.
The space. Internet, the final frontier. Stardate. I don't actually know how to do Stardate.
It's like, I don't know, 2017.
2017010100110100010010.
XX.
All right, moving on from that.
The robots took over.
Tank, what do you have for us this week?
Yeah, so this week I found an article online about Japan's app usage. And apparently
Japan.
We should start like you all ever watch Good Mythical Morning?
Yes.
Nope.
No.
Do you know where every time they say Tokyo, Rhett goes, "What?"
Okay, I don't watch it that much. I don't. Is there like a
volunteer as tribute? Let's try it.
Is there like an anime like reference there or something?
No, just one time someone said like, "This candy's from Tokyo," and he goes, "What?" And then and he's like, "All right, now anytime someone says Tokyo, that's what I'm gonna do." Anyway, so in Japan, turns out that the number of installed applications on their phone is higher than anywhere else in the world. So they have, on average, it's about 105. I don't have the exact number, but I have a chart that's the bar goes up above 100, but less than half. So I'm going to go halfway to 20. Anyway, so I'm going to say 105. So yeah, about 105 per person.
That's actually, that's a lot on average. Like,
it's quite a bit, especially on average. Yeah. You see like a power user, but this is the general person. Yeah. And so I was like, I wonder how much I have. And then I wondered, how much do you guys have? And then I wondered, how much do our listeners have? So anyway, I wanted to see, how many apps that we have installed. And then it also has the number of how many they use, which apparently is about 30. So for whatever reason, they have about 100 installed and then use about 30 a month. So, so yeah, I was interested to see how many you guys have. So go for it. How many apps do you have installed about?
Well, we'll go in the canonical order. I have 47 apps installed, and I counted 47. Earlier, and I use roughly 36 per month.
Wow.
Really? Only 47 apps? 100%.
That's impressive.
Yeah.
I, as you all know from our episode 70, Quitting the Internet with Derek and I quit the internet recently, and I have not reinstalled all the apps I had. I probably had closer to like 90, 95, something like that before earlier this year, but I forced myself to delete all the apps I never use and some that I always use because I used them too much. So now I have 47.
It just goes to show how well linked we are on this podcast that Ben can record the entire podcast off the internet and it all syncs up.
Yeah. Good point. Touche. Craig, how many apps do you have?
I have, I counted 115 when I did a manual count.
Whoa.
And they're all on one screen in folders. And then my phone tells me 99.
I hate folders so much.
Oh, really? I love folders.
It just looks so bad.
It organizes my life, though.
Is everything on your home screen a folder?
No. My social media and things like SMS and camera are just, and Pocket Casts are not folders. And Wunderlist. So the apps I use like regularly aren't, but all of my like utility apps and the app store and lifestyle apps and stuff are all in folders.
Just picturing a screen full of folders and I'm getting hives a little bit.
That's my screen, Ben.
Oh, no.
It's not even terrible. Organized.
Oh, okay, Derek, how many apps do you have?
Okay, so I have, so my phone tells me I have 95 apps.
Wow.
And I use, I would say roughly 30 to 35 monthly. It depends on if you're counting the stock apps or not, like messages and phone app and such, which that might be where, Craig, you got the 115 apps count from when you were counting manually and it just
was,
counts.
Yeah. I was counting all the built-in apps. Yeah.
Okay. And you didn't even, you didn't even say how many apps you use per month.
Yeah. I'd probably say like maybe 15 or 20, but probably 15. I'd go conservative. 15 that I use regularly.
115 installed and 15 regular. Interesting.
Wow.
So it seems like our test wasn't quite as efficient as it needed to be. I literally, my test for how many I use a month was, have I touched this in the last month?
Uh-huh.
So that's how I got 36.
Yeah,
that was mine too. So yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay, great. Cool.
Yeah, that was.
So maybe our test is still okay.
Yeah. Like there are apps that I'll probably touch like maybe twice a month. Like that is definitely a spotlight search, you know? That I have squirreled away in some folder that of things that I rarely use, and it's just that's the fastest way to access it. So, you know, there's probably like 15 apps that I use regularly, but
yeah. So my number is surprisingly much higher than yours. So I have 131 installed.
Oh my goodness!
However, I did check, and 35 of those came on the phone. And I can't remove them, and I never touch them.
What kind of phone?
Samsung 7.
Yeah, they're notorious for bloatware.
Yeah, Galaxy not Note 7. 3. Well, a lot of them are also my like my phone company's apps as well. So whatever. So maybe that's why Japan has so many apps, because they get half of the apps they have are dumped on there.
Because you're where, Tank?
In Japan, in Tokyo.
What?
We're gonna have to like send a. We're gonna get a note sent from Good Mythical Morning. Like, you can't steal our thing.
Yeah, no. Copyrighted. Red.
So yeah, 131, and then 53. I actually use every month.
Wow,
so.
53. That's a lot,
man.
Yeah. Yep. So it turns out in Japan, they use about 30, I think it was like 35 on average, which is average among all the countries in the world. So on average, people around the world use about 30 per month. And that's where Japan ranked as well. So even though they have installed the most, use about the same amount. One other interesting fact, in case you're curious, is Japan and Korea have the highest amount of time spent in video game apps compared to any other country. Yes, they have spent about an hour and 15 minutes a day playing video games on their phone. The average person, I think. So,
wow.
That's a surprise.
Yeah, I was surprised as well recently at some of the stats. The same conference that I said I went to in the last segment about communications and where communications is heading. They used some stats that are actually from the US, and they said about 49% of smartphone users in the US downloaded zero new apps in the last month. And then on average, basically less than 25% of people, sorry, who downloaded new apps actually use them more than once. So, They sort of followed those stats through and kept looking at sort of tracking with which apps are actually being used and whatever. And it kind of felt like we've sort of reached peak app. Do you know what I mean? Like there's the big top apps that sort of own the app market space. They get used by everyone, no matter what platform they're on. But people releasing new apps, it's pretty hard to cut through because there's just so much out there and people have their favorites and they are able to do pretty much everything they need to do. So.
Interesting.
That's why we need more Amazon Echo shows. And you can let us know how many apps you have on your phone by jumping on our Slack channel. Sign up at slack.techreformation.com and tell us in episode discussion how many apps you've got. Open up, if you got an iPhone, open up your settings app, go to general, and then go to about. And if you have an Android, it's hopeless. I don't even know.
There's probably a way. I just counted the old-fashioned way. Although I'm sure there is a way.
And I might even get fancy and do like a Twitter poll or something. Now that I'm using like the Twitter app full time, I'm like, ooh, I got to use a Twitter poll sometime.
Does the poll like multiple choice?
Yeah.
You just have like 1, 2,
yep.
3, 4, 5, 6.
Yep.
7, 8.
just 100 options of a specific app number. But so
you can look out for Derek's Twitter poll at Tech Reformation on Twitter.
That's right.
And that is a wrap on this week. New format, guys. One in the can.
Woo!
Woohoo!
This has been Tech Reformation. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week. And I ain't looking back. No, no, I ain't looking back. No, no. Choice.